Amen. It's good to see everybody. And hey, we still got a good looking crowd, y'all. You know, it's just good to be with God's people. And I'm excited for the opportunity. Sometimes God works in miraculous ways with short notice. So Daniel chapter number 3, we're going to be looking at a familiar passage here. Daniel chapter number 3. When you're there, say amen. All right. Look at verse number 16. Since it's such a familiar passage, we'll start right here and then we'll kind of backfill it. But y'all will know what we're talking about. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to thank you for health. God, the ability to be here. God, we just don't take that for granted. Lord, I was thinking just how fast things can change with our health. And Lord, we just give you the praise for allowing us to be here tonight. God, we pray for those that are sick, ask you to touch their bodies. Lord, meet with them. Lord, some of them are going to be so faithful that even though they can't be here in presence, Lord, they're going to be here in spirit. God, they're going to watch the service, and they're going to be praying for us. Lord, we ask you now just to lead, guide, and direct in the service. May Christ be seen in this Old Testament passage, I pray. We give you all the thanks tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I guess if I had to name this tonight, I would say the poise of a but if not faith. The poise. Everybody's, I'm sure, got their football feel in these past couple of weeks, right? And I love, even though I don't watch it as much as I used to, there's nothing better, and y'all ladies will just have to forgive us men folk, but there's nothing like a good old sports illustration for the Word of God. You know, I don't know what it does, but for us guys, you know, sometimes we it just connects with us. But even y'all ladies, you know what the most important position is on the football field. Let's hear it. The quarterback. I mean, not only, listen, he's got to be an athlete, okay? He's got to have an arm on him, right? He's got to have the ability to throw the football. The quarterback's not much good to you if he can't throw the ball, okay? Here's another thing about a quarterback, though. He's got to have one of these. He's got to be sharp, okay? I mean, it takes a lot of memorization and things. Hey, we think that our minds can't do a lot, but those boys, listen, they memorize those plays and everything. Here's another thing you got to have. You got to have a good set of eyes on you, okay? And working together, because here's what happens, and this is our, I'm trying to bring this back to the Bible real quick, but in our lives, things happen fast. Right? And it's unexpected. When that quarterback lines up on the line of scrimmage, he's ready to receive that ball from the center. He doesn't necessarily know what that defense is going to do. They've got different, of course, the offense, they have different plays. He knows what his guys are supposed to do. But he doesn't know what's coming at him. So when that ball is placed into his hands, in a split second, the defense is off the line and they're coming to get him, right? I mean, they are coming after you. So here's what that quarterback has to do. If the play is for a pass, he drops back a couple of steps, and then his eyes are looking as quickly as possible. He knows he's got some men downfield that are supposed to be running certain routes. He gets that. But also, his eyes are trying to look at them, but they're looking at them big old boys coming after him too. Okay? So he's having to make a decision. But here's what happens to a lot of these quarterbacks, especially ones that have some speed and agility. What do they want to do, Brother Richie? The ones that have, the quarterbacks with speed and agility, when they see those guys coming out, the pocket starts to collapse, they want to scramble and they want to run the ball, okay? And a lot of times, that doesn't do you any good. Here's what I'm getting at. Poise, okay? The word poise. That quarterback that is a gifted, smart, vision, you know what I mean? He sees it. He has to have a poise, a standing in that pocket while everything seems to be breaking down. He has to give that play just long enough to do this, for that man to get open downfield and for him to make a pass. And sometimes it comes right about the time that defensive man comes and gets him. But he's released that ball downfield. He stood in the pocket like he needed to do, and he made the delivery touchdown, okay? And everybody said amen. That's poise, y'all.
Amen.
That's poise. And in our lives, we need to be able to stand the test, okay? And there's no greater illustration of this in the Word of God than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now let's rewind just a couple of hours or maybe a day. I don't know what the time frame was, but we know that here, let's go back a little bit farther first. God had told the nation of Judah time and time again to repent, to turn to Him, okay? And we know that there were times of revival. You know, things got better for Judah. They would, a good godly king would rise up, amen, and boy, you know, it was looking good. We can understand that. When our guy wins the election, right? I mean, all of a sudden, the future's bright, seems brighter, okay? But they refused. Oh, and over the course of time, God just finally said, I'm done. He said, you will not listen to the light punishment, the light discipline that I'm giving to you. So now we're going to have to take another measure. The Babylonians come in and they remove some vessels out of the temple. Okay? And then they remove some of the princely folks that had some high standing in Judah. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were four of those people that were brought out of the nation of Judah. So I'd like for you to just think about something for a second. I want you to picture yourself as an American being taken from your home by force and brought to another land. Because that gives us an idea in our minds of what they must have felt like. Because here's the thing. Even though we talk about our country and the situation looks bleak, we're still able. Nobody's barring the door right now, okay? We still have many, many freedoms. But imagine that just being, I mean, decimated where you're just not free anymore, y'all. I mean, you know what I mean? And look, we have to come to the conclusion, this has happened multiple times in history. Do y'all realize that men, to a large degree, are bent on tyranny?
Amen.
That's just where they go to, you know. That ultimate power corrupts ultimately. It does that to men. But they're here in a foreign place now, hundreds of miles from home. And you got to think that their situation, it looked real, real bleak. I mean, they were, you know, in a rough situation. So fast forward a little bit, right? And in Daniel chapter number 3, we see that Nebuchadnezzar builds a statue, in our terms, 90 feet tall. Gold. Okay? And he calls together all the big shots of his kingdom. And some commentators say that there was some kind of mutiny before this, okay? Somebody tried to usurp Nebuchadnezzar's power. So he's going to make sure that everyone is in line. They're going to bow down to this 90-foot image. So he calls all the who's who of the kingdom. Now, let me say this. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had risen to prominent places even in Babylon.
Amen.
When Nebuchadnezzar took them out of there, he said, we want to do some things. We want to get them ready to serve in the kingdom of Babylon. And so they had. God had, just as God blessed Joseph there in Egypt, God done the same thing. When we are faithful, God will bless.
Amen.
No matter where it's at, God will bless. That's just, and Brother Martin, he used to say this, a man can't be much, but he can be faithful. That has stuck with me time and time again. Hey, you say, I can't do this, I can't do that. You can be faithful. Our friend that's been coming to church with us, I just told him, I said, listen, you've got to just make a commitment to come to church. It's not I think I will or maybe. No, you just say, I'm going. Hey, if my heart's beating and I'm not sick as a dog or, you know, I'm going. We're not talking about that, okay? But here these three men are, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we don't know where Daniel was, okay? That's just the great answer. We don't know. We can try to, you know, guess, but here they go, and they're in this place, and here's this 90-foot image, and a herald cries out and says, hey, when we strike up the band, and boy, they had all kinds of instruments, half of them, I don't know, have a clue what they were. He said, when we strike up the band, and the music begins to play, everyone is going to bow down and worship this image. And if they don't bow down to this image, they will be thrown into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Now, can you imagine? I mean, y'all, that's some tough decisions right there, you know? And I don't know if when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were summoned to come to this, you know, if they knew what was going on, you know. You can imagine, maybe it's just, hey, I mean, you're invited to this big event. Maybe they didn't know what was going to happen that day. And they get here, I'm sure they could see that big old thing from miles away, right? And I don't know how long it took them to make it, but they knew something was happening. But imagine when they were faced with that, bow down or else. And so, like I said, they had risen to a place of prominence, and you have to think, these Chaldeans and these Babylonian types, they didn't like that, you know. We don't like outsiders. If we're Americans here, okay, we don't like people coming and taking our jobs from, you know, from other countries. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, that's the truth, amen, okay? Okay, so it's the same way with them. But here they are, the music began to play, and here's what happened. Everybody hit them knees, and they bowed down, and they began to worship. But this is what I think. I think that there's some of them Chaldeans, listen, they're doing this number right here. And they was looking right over at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were like, are they going to bow down? And sure enough, we know the story. They did not bow down.
Amen.
Okay? And boy, hey, it didn't take 2 minutes. You know, a good tattletale, Jared. I mean, a good tattletale. They don't waste any time. Mommy, 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 mommy. Right? They run to King Nebi, Nebi, Nebi. We'll call him that. King Nebuchadnezzar, you're never going to believe this. You know how you had that statue and we were all supposed to bow down? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood. They didn't bow down. And a good old king in all his pride, that face begins to get red, and he's angry as everything. He said, you call them boys right now. We need to visit with them. And so they come, and this is what I believe. Listen, here's another thing. When we live lives that are pure and right, people recognize it, because you got to think, the king, he could have just said, you didn't bow down, into the fiery furnace you go. That is not what happened. King Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, maybe there was some kind of misunderstanding. Maybe we need to put it in your language, you know, back in Hebrew, you know. But he said, I'm going to give you another shot at this. We're going to get the band going one more time and see if you'll bow down. Hey, you know what they said? Don't even waste your time going and getting the band. That's really what they said. There's no reason. Their mind was already made up. But you know, how hard is it to make that decision? It's one thing when they're doing it and you know what I mean? They're in the crowd, you know, and maybe they could be. But I mean, here you are staring the king right in the face. Y'all, that's hard living. I mean, it's easy to preach these Bible narratives, you know what I mean, where people done something like this. But to live that. Have y'all ever been faithful where you look somebody in the eye like that and you simply say no? That's hard living, y'all. Now, there's two main points from the text we read that I want us to look at. Number one, and this is in verse number 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve, listen, is able to deliver us. Y'all, that's where we need to be as believers. Listen, our faith says God is able. That's a powerful, bold statement to say that to the king. Hey, our God is able. Because he even asked that question in verse number 15. Look at the end of verse 15 here, what Nebuchadnezzar says. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I'll tell you who. Our God. Our God is able to deliver us. So Nebuchadnezzar, now, he's furious, right? But that's what they said. They said, our God is able to deliver. You know, there's a lot of people out there that believe this way. And that's good, okay? But this next step of faith to me, is really three of the most powerful words in the Scriptures, okay? To say what they say. What's that next? Those next three words? Look at verse number 18. But if not. Now look, it's so easy when we're thinking God is able, and you know what I mean? And maybe we've got a problem in our lives, and you know, we're, hey, people are praying and we're really thinking, man, God, I know He is able to do this. But hey, it's kind of like that quarterback when that pocket starts to collapse and all those defensive men are, you know what I mean? And that's kind of what happens in our lives sometimes. It seems like doors start to close. Opportunities, you know what I mean? Maybe if it's a physical issue, you know, maybe the reports at the doctor don't go like we wanted them to go. You know what I mean? Just things, and then all of a sudden, it's a natural thing that doubt begins to sink in. Hey, what if God doesn't do this? But here's the thing that we've got to just realize. God is still God in the but if nots.
Amen.
Right? See, we think this. We think that God is only going to be glorified when He does things that we want Him to do. But in the grand purposes of everything, God's got this thing figured out.
Amen.
Hey, we don't always understand why God is doing what He's doing, but He does. I want you to think about this. We know the end of the story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a fourth person walking with them in the midst of that furnace. Nebuchadnezzar said, the fourth looks like the Son of God. But what if we would have read Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the midst of the fire and killed? There'd probably be a lot less messages preached out of that, don't you think? But let that just sink in for a second. What if God wouldn't have delivered them? Look, there's things that happen in our lives where God's not going to do exactly. He's not, the deliverance, okay, is not going to look the way we wanted it to look.
Amen.
And I know that's really hard. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 11 real quick. Now we all know Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith where all those great heroes reside, and we can just quickly read a little sentence or two about them, and we can think about what they accomplished, right? All those different names. But look in verse number 36. I'm sorry. Look at verse number 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Boy, that's an interesting one. Verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now think about that aspect, that the promise, they didn't receive the promise. And then you think about the Old Testament saints and how that they couldn't see what we see today. They could not see the cross. And today we have the whole display that God wanted to show us. We have that. But here these Old Testament saints were. Look, there were some that God done miracles. I mean, we think about Abraham being 100 years old, Sarah being 90, and God giving them a child. Hey, he delivered on his promise and all these different things. But yet there were people that simply were persecuted and killed for the name of God. That's exactly what happened. And that's tough. So here's the thing. The but if not poise. I mean, how are we going to have that? Okay? Because, I mean, that's what we want. Amen. We want to be able to stand in the evil day and having done all, to stand. Think about that. Okay? Paul's using that same illustration, right? It's a time where you're ready, okay? So let's look at a couple of things real quick. How we can have the but if not poise. Number one, this is vitally important. Preparation. Y'all, I said it a minute ago, there's so many times in our lives when something hits us so unexpectedly and it knocks us for a loop. We have to be prepared. I'm not saying that we can just be prepared for anything that comes our way in the sense that we can't tell the future, okay? Wish we could sometimes, but we're probably better off that the Lord didn't allow that. But we need to be prepared. When the Babylonians came in and took some of the Jews from their land, they wanted to rid them of some things. Okay? They wanted to rid them of their discipline. Say, what do you mean? Their education. When you look at chapter number 1 of Daniel, the king had this plan, hey, let's take these Jews and let's make them wise in the Babylonian tongue and in the Babylonian ways. Astrology and all these different, right? Because think about the soothsayers. And remember how when Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 had the dream? Who did he call for? He called for all these different ones that were involved in all kinds of things. Listen, that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, God said not to do that. Okay? They realized that wasn't, but listen, the Babylonians wanted to change them. We talk a lot about it around here, and I praise the Lord for it. Now listen, they want to change. Let me use a different word than they. The world system, Satan, I don't know what else to call it. There is powers in place in this world, okay? The prince of the power of the air, principalities, whatever you want to call it, that want to corrupt our children.
Amen.
They want, and they, what do? They use the education system. Think about this, okay? Change the way that they see the world. If y'all remember Michael Dent, the guy that had all the little blonde-headed boys and now he's got some girls coming up along, he done a little thing one time and he got everybody to look back and he had somebody holding up a white sheet of paper. And when everybody turned around, he done something and they couldn't see him. He said, isn't that a blue piece of paper that he's holding back there? And of course, it was just a regular old sheet of white copy paper. So when he said that, everybody turns around and looks at him, and he had placed a pair of blue glasses on his eyes. And so everything that he saw was blue. Listen, we are allowing other people besides us to put the glasses on our kids.
Amen.
And listen, how they view the world is going to be determined by what glasses they have on. That is just how things work, y'all. Look, we cannot do enough in the church. We don't have enough time in the week. All right? And number two, it's not the church's responsibility. Your children are your responsibility. And you have to say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that they have on the right set of glasses. That's one way they desired to change their discipline. And then they tried to change their diet. Do y'all remember that? Over there in Daniel chapter number 1 where they said, hey, we're going to provide them some of my food, the king said. I have no idea what in the world this food was, okay? I mean, we can kind of make an assumption, I guess it's an educated guess, that maybe there were some unclean animals, okay, to the Jews that were given, you know, and they said, uh-uh. They said, hey, God told us we can eat this. And listen, God provided plenty of things for them to eat. But they said, we will not eat of the king's food and drink of the king's wine. And remember, that's when the guy said, man, I mean, Daniel, listen, I like you and everything, but man, if you don't eat this food and you start looking like a bag of bones, I'm going to be the one getting in trouble. They're going to come to me and say, hey, what's wrong with these Jewish boys? Daniel said, I'll tell you what, give us, I believe it was 10 days, if I'm not mistaken, give us 10 days, let us eat what we tell you we can have, and just see what we look like. And the Bible says they looked better than everybody else.
Amen.
Amen. All right, this is my little tangent, okay? Hey, I believe that there's a satanic, if I could call it, y'all, it's not, we talk about conspiracy theories all the time. This is what I tell people. There's a grand conspiracy. Satan is behind a lot of the stuff that goes on. And listen, you don't have to conspire with a guy halfway around the other side of the world. If you both of y'all have the same spirit, you can be moving towards the same goal. It's the same principle with believers, right? I mean, we've got believers in China that are going for the same goal and doing the same things that we want to do, right? But there is an agenda, okay, to destroy people's physical health.
Amen.
This is just the truth, y'all. And a lot of it comes through right there, okay? So that's just a freebie that I'll give you, but I believe that with all of my heart, okay? I mean, I can get into a lot of stuff. I'm just not going to do it. But it's important, y'all. I really want you to think about it. And I know Brother John said something about possibly having a sermon about this. But our physical health, do y'all reckon that Satan might want to sideline some people physically so they can't do anything for God? Just a thought. So they wanted to change their discipline, their diet, and then they wanted to change their doctrine. So how do you know that? We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was not their names, y'all.
Amen.
That was the names given to them by the Babylonians, okay? You say, why would they change their names? Because their names gave glory to Jehovah God. Their new names gave glory to idols, to false gods. So, I mean, and think about that. Every time, when our names, and we name our children, right, and a lot of times they don't have a lot of significance, okay? It's just how we do things. But in those days, that's not how it was. And I mean, so imagine that you've got this name and your parents have told you this is what your name means. And man, you cherish that. You really, I mean, man, Jehovah. Because a lot of times that E-L that's in there, right? El, Elohim. And there was always that significance to their name. And now imagine Every time you walk around and somebody says Shadrach, and you say, that's not my name. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that bug you? I mean, Jared, if somebody just, you know what I mean, called you by a wrong name all the time, would that get on your nerves? It would. Do people do that to you? But there was a reason. They're trying to say, hey, we want to take God out of the picture of your life. Okay? Now, I said all of those three things. Look, God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Triune, okay? We are body, soul, and spirit. So wouldn't it make sense that Satan would attack in all three areas? The spiritual, the physical, and then the emotional, which, right, that's the soul part of you, okay? The intellect. Satan wants to attack in three ways. 1 John chapter number 2, right? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's three things there. You go back to Adam and Eve. There were three things. How many times did the devil tempt Jesus in the wilderness? Three times. This number three, it's significant. It means something, okay? So, how was it, right, that Daniel and these other Jewish men, how was it that they were not influenced by the Babylonians? They knew the Word of God. That is the preparation, y'all. If we don't know the Word of God, we're not going to be ready to face the challenge. Our pastor, man, looking forward to that series. I would a lot rather be sitting right there with him preaching some tough topics, okay, for today's church. Because like he's been telling us, hey, there's a lot of things that people believe that aren't in there.
Amen.
Okay? Sometimes you'll meet people and, man, they'll start saying stuff to you and you'll go, what? That's not in the Bible. You know, and people just sometimes they've been told things. But we need to know the Word of God. Hey, the diet part for them, okay? I understand we're not living under the old covenant, so I'm not trying to say that, okay? But for them, that was serious business. But they had to know. You read over there, and man, it's got a list, right? You couldn't eat the hare, right? H-A-R-E. You couldn't eat the coney bird, and just all these different things, right? Swine, and we know there was all these different things. So they had to have an understanding of what all those things were. They had to know. They had to know Exodus chapter number 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself, right? Shalt not make any graven image. They had to know the Word of God. Y'all, if we don't, we will not be prepared to stand.
Amen.
It's just as simple as that, y'all. The world is going to tell us, they're going to fill in the void. Y'all do realize that, right? And that's what we do. Look, when we're not in the Word of God, we're in something else. And our mind, it's going to be filled. Right? That's just how it is. So, the first way, prepare. The second way, and we get this a lot, and I'll say the same thing as Pastor. I need to preach this to myself first. The second way is prayer. If you're going to have a but if not poise, we have to pray. We'll look at Daniel chapter number 2. I'll just try to run through it real quick. Daniel chapter number 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, but he can't remember what it was. And he says, I need you men to come see me, all you wise men and you sorcerers and people, come visit me. He said, listen, I had a dream and I'm really anxious to know what the meaning of the dream is. And they said, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, sure. Tell us the dream. I don't remember what it was. They said, you don't know what the dream was, but you want us to tell you what that dream meant. He said, yeah, exactly. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, listen. You know that nobody can do that. Only the gods could do something like that. He said, I want you to tell me right now, or you're dead. This guy, I mean, he got mad. That's exactly what happened. He said, listen, either you tell me, or I'm going to have all of you wise men in all the land killed. So the decree went out, and they started to gather up people. They came to Daniel, and Daniel said, whoa, wait just a second. What's the rush with this, you know? What's going on? And so they told him what happened. He said, give me a minute. Give me an amount of time, and I'll tell you what the dream was and what the interpretation was. That's what he said. Now, what do you think Daniel did in a moment like this? He prayed. Hey, not only that, he got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, boys, we got to pray. And that's another thing about standing. A quarterback, he is back there by himself. But as believers, you know what helps Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Being together. Y'all, hey, when you know that you've got some brothers and sisters in Christ that are willing to stand with you, y'all, it makes all the difference in the world. How many people have ever had this experience, right? That when you're with somebody, like for Great Commission Day, it's just easier to talk to people about the Lord, about salvation and everything. And this person over here, they might not ever even say a word. They might be completely mute, you know? But there's just something, you know? It's just they encourage you just by being there, knowing that they have your back. They're supporting you. And that's how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, Daniel said, we've got to seek God about this. And they did. They sought the Lord, and the message came. The message came. And this is the third part. Look at chapter number 2 of Daniel, if you still got Daniel open there. This is just great. It shows you Daniel's heart. Look at Daniel chapter number 2 and verse number 19. Back up to 18. I want you to this is the part where they prayed. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. This is what Daniel asked. Mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Listen to what Daniel did next. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So we've got, hey, the preparation. We've got the prayer. Now we've got the praise.
Amen.
The praise. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and they were talking about another preacher that one of the things that he said that helped them one time, he said, you know, there's more prison doors open by praise than by prayer. I was like, that's interesting. And you know, man, I had a good time with the Lord there, and it's not as common as it ought to be, but I was just walking around and just praising the Lord and thanking Him. But look, this answer to prayer came in, and Daniel said, I bless your name. And listen to the prayer, of praise that he gives. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Y'all, if we take, I mean, I've got that thing in a box in my Bible. That is how we need to praise God right there. I mean, we can, look, I think about the Lord's Prayer. He didn't give the disciples the Lord's Prayer for them to just memorize those words, okay? Listen, it's a framework. Amen. What's the first thing in the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be thy name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, you are holy. You know what I mean? That's the first thing that ought to be out of our mouths. That's what it's all about, is praise. So much of it. Now, those are the things that you and I can do to be poised. I want you to just think about this for a second, though. With this matter of deliverance in our daily lives and the things that we face, there's going to be some times that God does not deliver us in the way that we desire. But I want to turn this over to the cross. Think about this. God, in His mercy, will always deliver one that calls upon His name. Salvation from sin, from God's judgment, from the wrath of God, from the lake of fire, is always open to those that call on Him. Hey, that one that was in the furnace, that same one will show up in your life and meet that need. So as Miss Mickey comes, I'm asking you this. Have you met that man, Jesus Christ? He will deliver you. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I am asking you, come. Call on that name that is above every name. He will save you tonight when you call upon Him. I like to just give just the simple old gospel, y'all. It's not changed. Jesus came to this world, left heaven's throne, born of a virgin, marched up Calvary's hill, bearing the cross, was nailed there, and died. They put Him in that tomb. They rolled that stone over. But 3 days later, He rose again. That is the gospel. And I tell you what, hey, I like to say this. When Jesus rose from the dead, you say, what is the big deal? That's God's stamp of approval. He is God. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He desires to save you tonight if you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you're facing something like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you're saying, God, I believe that You're able to deliver me, but God, I want to say, if not, I'm going to trust You anyways. I will trust You anyway. As Miss Mickey plays, you let the Lord direct you. We can stand to our feet and just have a time of invitation. I don't know how the Lord wants to close this service down, but let's be praying for God to heal our folks that are sick and to just stir our hearts to have this standing in the last days that we live in.